All right. Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Done. Okay.
All right. This is Checks and Balances speaking with Agricultural Commissioner Tom Peterson. Mr. Commissioner, I understand that you just got back from a trip to Washington, D.C. Can you discuss the importance of the USAID program and Minnesota's farm community and the impact of its closing is having?
Well, I think that we're still kind of learning, you know, about it. You know, I've been familiar with the food aid part of it and the good pieces that it's done over the years. But, you know, to be honest, I didn't know a lot about a lot of the details, and we're still kind of learning some of the impacts of that. So for Minnesota specifically, is what we're interested in is some of the products that we may see that would impact our farmers are wheat purchases, edible beans, so think like kidney beans, things like that. Beans are a really popular protein too around the world, and so that's a, you know, kind of a niche crop in Minnesota, but it's really important that it has really built that market over the years. So that's been an interesting one, and then some dairy products too as well. And so again, we're, you know, still trying to, you know, sort that out too and everything. But you think about, you know, there may be companies or co-ops in Minnesota that may also be involved with purchases that may be based here in Minnesota but may not be, you know, impacted Minnesota. So think like Cargill or Land O'Lakes, things like that.
Well, you mentioned wheat, and that only brings me back to thinking about Norman Borlaug and the, you know, the man who fed the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, Norman Borlaug or even Orville Freeman, you know, I think that USAID was kind of born out of the Kennedy administration at that time. The Secretary of Agriculture, who was also very involved in a lot of this, who was Orville Freeman, you know, from Minnesota. And so that was kind of the idea of food for peace type initiatives and everything. So, you know, is very interesting and ties to Minnesota for sure.
So what is your feeling of the general sentiment of the Federal Department of Agriculture towards Minnesota right now?
Well, I think we're kind of in a, you know, hurry up and see situation. I was able to, one of the first addresses the new USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins gave was to our Association of Commissioners yesterday, you know, and she kind of really laid out the plan of continuing to attack avian influenza, which really does impact Minnesota a lot just because we're number one in turkey production and we've seen cases. And actually some of the things that she rolled out are important, like enhanced biosecurity, and then, you know, looking at vaccines, there's a lot to that too as well. And so, but there is concerns right now, I'd say, with the USDA because we do have some grants that are frozen. That we're not able to access that impact Minnesota farms and businesses. And then the impact on, you know, removal of probationary employees, a buyout program, leaving, you know, some of our offices understaffed. And so that's a concern because, to be honest, too, the farm economy is struggling right now some. And so it makes it difficult to have some of these issues that we're dealing with right now.
Well, what about the impact on the farm loan system?
Well, that'll be interesting to see. Originally, a lot of those probationary farm loan officers had been laid off, but then they were hired back. So I'd say there's kind of some whiplash at the moment, too. But, you know, I was whoever got to them, including the department and maybe it was some of our congressional delegation, that we need those, you know, because we are seeing a lot of interest in loans. We do loans at the department. One other thing, Sean, I think is interesting is farmer lender mediation notices. So those are notices that go out to farmers who are behind, you know, on whether it's a tractor payment or other payments. In January of 2025, we had well over 300 notices sent to farmers. In January of 24, it was less than 50. So we're seeing 6-7 times the amount of mediations. That tells us that the economy for farmers could be better. And so now is the time we want to be helping farmers, not making it further difficult for them.
Well, let's talk a little politics here, just in this one question. Do you think the feelings in Washington have anything to do with the fact that Minnesota voted for the Harris-Walz ticket over the Trump and Vance ticket by a mere 50.92%?
You know, not at the moment. I think Minnesota is actually in an interesting position in D.C. I think that, you know, there's a lot of questions. The USDA needs the farm bill. Farmers need the farm bill. And Minnesota is in an interesting position, having Amy Klobuchar as the ranking Democrat in the Senate and Randy Craig, you know, having the ranking membership in the House. They need Democratic votes to pass a farm bill. And that's expired and it's on an extension right now. And so it was really interesting and actually kind of an honor at our, you know, State Department's agriculture to have both of them come and talk and represent Minnesota, but also highlight the need that, you know, again, you don't just need Republican votes to do this. You're going to need Democratic votes because there's too many votes on the far right, you know, that won't vote for a farm bill. And so it's an interesting, you know, kind of wait and see. The other thing I'd say right now, too, is I don't know that farmers will see a direct impact on tariffs and, you know, and office closings and everything, maybe for a few months yet. And so I think there's some of that, too, as well. And so, again, we're just had to wait and see a little bit.
Well, you mentioned Democratic members of the congressional delegation. Are you hearing similar thoughts from the Republican members of Congress in our delegation?
You know, to be honest, we've had good luck, with Representative Finstead, you know, in his office, as some of these ideas or things that we've had. You know, we've been able to communicate with his office pretty good, and so I'd give an extra shout out to his office. And of course, he's in farm country. So I know that they're hearing some of these concerns too as well. You know, and we'll keep working on the other offices. You know, I lean a lot on Tom Emmer's office, you know, being in leadership, you know, but I think they're going to have to, you know, figure out at some point, you know, where they can be helpful in a lot of these different things.
Well, Governor Walz has highlighted trade missions as a significantly important issue to the Minnesota economy. Do you think there's any possibility of Minnesota reaching out to the countries that were adversely impacted by the USAID closure and maybe even looking at some direct exports to them?
You know, we'll see what happens with that. It's been, you know, to be honest, kind of quiet at the moment on the USAID front, on the nations that have been impacted. I think that they're still trying to sort out, you know, some of the ships and deliveries were slowed down, but those food aid pieces are moving now, you know, and so we hope that those continue. But if you don't have the staff and everything, I think that's what we're going to have to wait and see. You know, there's some of the workers have been held there, and so they may, you know, the food aid piece and the purchases may continue, and maybe some of their programs that they may back off of. And so whether that's helping farmers, you know, learn how to, you know, irrigate, or we have an issue, you know, things where we send farmers over there, retired farmers to say Africa to help them learn different practices or do exchanges, things like that. We may see less of that, you know, too, as well. So, but we're, you know, we're kind of still working on it and evaluating it and seeing where it goes and where the court cases go that are surrounding it too, as well.
Well, as you know, I'm interested in some innovative farming techniques. Can you define, in your assessment, what the future of aquaponic aquaculture here in Minnesota is? And do you think it has a potential benefit in the urban agriculture environment and in other indoor growing opportunities?
Well, you'll be very interested to know that we actually, through the legislature request 2 years ago, we have a report on aquaculture coming out very soon. And so that, you know, we're hoping to be released. It's in its final stages right now, and we hope to release that report very soon. And we do think there's a lot of opportunities. Now, aquaculture is not anything new, or aquaponics. It's, you know, been around a long time. We've seen a lot of different things. Some of the new things we're seeing in Minnesota is actually shrimp farms, prawn farms. You know, to be honest, the bait business is booming right now, and we don't have as many bait suppliers as we have. So, you know, we have a walleye farm, you know, coming online. And so a lot of, you know, interesting and innovative things. You know, people in general, my take is, are really interested in protein. And so whether that's plant-based or beef or pork or fish, you know, there's a lot of opportunity right now for the protein market.
Well, another innovative agricultural thing. And, oh, by the way, you know I'm going to expect a personally signed copy of that report.
I can get that to you.
I figure you could. In the future, wouldn't growing food under glass in greenhouses provide better food without herbicides and pesticides, though?
Potentially. You know, we're already seeing that. You know, Minnesota's population is changing quite a bit. And so we're seeing a lot of, you know, whether that's a growth in our Hmong farming population, our Latino farming population, and a lot of those folks are growing fruit and vegetables on a small, I say a small footprint, but it's a large value crop. I always think it's interesting when people will say, I can't believe somebody farms on 2 acres or 3 acres, but they may have a high tunnel or greenhouse that has tens of thousands of dollars worth of tomato and vegetables on it. They may sell at a high piece, you know, like a Minneapolis or St. Paul farmers market, have a big CSA, you know, or a direct marketing business. You know, there's a lot of really successful fruit and vegetable pieces going on. There's also, you know, folks that are doing aquaponics or raising fish and then using, you know, the affluent and things to help with their greenhouse too as well. So you're seeing some of that innovative pieces too as well.
Well, and the last part of this and staying with this topic, also you're getting more yield throughout the year because we are, you know, we have a limited growth cycle. So if you're able to extend the growth cycle, why wouldn't that be beneficial?
Right, and that's what we're glad to see, like a lot of our fruit and vegetable growers being able to afford those high tunnel, you know, greenhouses where they can extend their growing season both on the front end and the back end. So it is a really good thing.
Okay, that's all my questions. I'm going to call you after this just so that we can wrap up our personal conversation. I'll just call you in
awesome.
A second.
Sounds good. Okay, bye.